Major Bouchard, behind Bouchard's back, a soldier had scrambled up over the top of his trench, and there was a puzzled expression on his grimy, sweat-streaked face. "Major Bouchard, sir." The call brought Bouchard back to the present. He turned, saw the beckoning soldier, and made his way through the heat and dust and confusion to the man's side. "Beg your pardon, sir," the soldier said uncertainly. "It may be nothing, but would you have a look down here?" Bouchard bent forward, and digging a trench, the soldier had uncovered the ruins of an old wall. Embedded among its crumbling yellow bricks and winking up at Bouchard like a huge black diamond was a Now, let's go to something else. I'll come back to that. Just wanted you to know I hadn't forgotten where I left off last night. I'll get back to that. I want you to go again to Romans chapter 1. We're looking at God's message in the stars. Now, the other night I was reading from the Gospel in the Stars by Joseph A. Seiss. That's one you can read, but the one I'm going to give you this coming Sunday is another one of Cap's books. He gave me 800 of them free. I think that's nice of him. We're going to buy the rest. The Glory of the Stars, A Study of the Zodiac by E. Raymond Capt. I was reading from it last night, but I prefaced it with Romans chapter 1. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven," verse 18, "against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." When has the wrath of God been revealed? From heaven, against all ungodliness and all unrighteous men. If what you mean by that is the expression of God's wrath on ungodly men, that hasn't happened yet. Jesus stopped in the middle of a sentence because the time of vengeance hadn't come yet when he was reading from the book of Isaiah. So it doesn't mean the expression, yet it's past tense. Don't tell me it means the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, that the Bible reveals that His wrath from heaven will be revealed, which is going around a circle. That isn't what it's saying. It's saying he's talking about people who didn't have the Bible. Now adjust your traditional viewpoint and view scope and let Paul say what he said. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Look up into the heaven and you're going to see that the heavens themselves tell a story of the wrath of God against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The ultimate victory of God against the dragon and against sin. Now, when we look at the zodiac, most of the church world's turned off on it because the devil has grabbed the territory. Somebody made me a little chart. Got to back up a bit, Larry, and let me see it like that. Now that is another way to design what we were showing. You see the earth with the arrow pointing this direction? Going around the sun. And as you sight through the earth or through the sun, as it makes its trip around that bend, it enters those various constellations. And in the circle of a year, at a different time, or a different day rather, at the same time, you'll be looking at a different constellation. Now, I demonstrated this last night by having one of the cameras represent the sun and the other camera represent the earth and the whole room represent the constellations on an equal band around the room. Is what's called the celestial equator of the heavens. And then the earth going around the sun makes the sort of, it doesn't parallel the equator of the heavens. At times it's above it, at times it's below it. So you will have a different sighting on the constellations. But from the most ancient times, and nobody can tell you where it started, the signs all had common characteristics drawn with strange figures that the particular stars do not necessarily require. But from remotest antiquity, the signs have been essentially the same. 12 major constellations. Your astrological charts begin with Aries. One of the most ancient astrological charts give you the key, which is the Sphinx. It literally breaks the constellation belt and puts a Sphinx between Leo and Virgo. That's the mystery of the Sphinx. The head of the woman, the body of the lion. Start with Virgo and end with Leo. And you will solve the mystery of God's message in the stars. Now, the stars are the same, the message is the same, they come from a common root. As all the flood stories come from a common experience, a flood. Some of the flood stories, in the oft-told repetition without God's protection of revelation, take on mythical qualities totally unbelievable. More unbelievable than just the simple story of the flood. God protected the story that he delivered to his oracle people, and that's the right one. Likewise, in the stars was a message that dates back to the descendants of Seth, back to Adam, but primarily to Enoch. For 365 days, walked and talked with God. Now, Paul, centuries later, is saying the wrath of God is revealed. Nobody's without excuse, or with an excuse that will stand, rather. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, for God showed it, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. He then goes on to condemn man who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And once again, we're seeking to lift the baby out of the bathwater that's been thrown out. This is the third lesson on it. If you start with Virgo, the signs from ancient time tell God's message. And each constellation has three decans from the ancient word that means a piece or a part of. We carry it into English in the decks of a ship. Every major constellation on that celestial equatorial band has on one side or the other of it associated constellations, three each. Starting with Virgo, you have the major constellation of a woman reclining. In all the most ancient myths, no matter how sensual and earthy the myths become, Virgo is a pure virgin lady. Yet paradoxically, she carries in her hands the symbol that doesn't normally go with virginity. Birth. Seed. The righteous seed in one hand, the righteous branch in the other. That's where God's plan of the ages begins. God in the Old Testament, through his law, laid down the law. If you have sinned or lost an inheritance, you cannot have that inheritance restored by a stranger. Only one near of kin can do it. The whole book of Ruth in the Old Testament is put in the Bible to teach in a love story that drama of the kinsman redeemer. Strange things in the book of Ruth can only be understood if you know the law of God that's laid down about the kinsman redeemer. And the so-called barefoot kinsmen, they had a custom, as they would sit at the gates of the city and draw up contracts, if you removed yourself from the competition, you would take your shoe off and shake it out. That, in essence, says, I'm removing myself. There was a kinsman nearer to Ruth than Boaz, and he had the first right of redemption, but he refused to do it. He's called the barefoot kinsman because he took his shoe off and removed himself from the redeeming position. And if I were preaching on Ruth tonight, I'd tell you the meaning or the antitype of the barefoot kinsman. But Boaz was the type of Christ, the kinsman who was a kinsman, who had the price, who was willing to pay it and did pay it. And that's why the whole book of Ruth is in the Old Testament. There are people that don't find in the book of Ruth much about God. Yet it is probably the most New Testament of the Old Testament books in portraying the one who became our kinsman redeemer. Jesus could not redeem lost mankind without becoming our kinsman. And as you've heard me say, the word kind, be kind one to another. It's more that marshmallow silliness of Christianity. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Don't even know what that means. And you got people slobbering over one another with sickening PR is what it really boils down to. They wouldn't be caught dead preaching a Hell's Angels funeral. They love their souls. They don't love them. You say, would you? Sure. They don't know what being kind is. Being kind is not some superficial tone in your voice. Well, he just doesn't talk sweet enough. I've had people write me letters, the cruelest things I've ever read. And they close it in Christian love. I'd like to shove their Christian love into certain delicate portions of their asteroids. Just keep shoving it until they learned how tough it was to love. Christian love. Well, I love you. Don't prove what you do. I love you all. Horse spit. You don't love me. You love your self-righteous imagery. I've had people come mouthing love so they could turn me to a piece of hamburger. I don't want that kind of love. Be kind is what the word means. You ever seen a brother and sister that grew up and in their whole life never ever raised their voice to each other? You ever seen a brother and sister like that? If I had kids like that, I'd pray God take them home. Such a blob as that, I don't want to raise. You had a brother and sister grow up, never said a word that didn't sound like honey rolling over a biscuit. When I was a kid and there was an evangelist came to preach for my dad. And he got up and said he had lived with his wife so many years and they'd never had a cross word. I knew then that preachers lied. I knew it. It's like that bird going around saying he pastored a church for 12 years and nobody ever had a headache in it. Well, I run a mausoleum, 35,000 buried in it. Nobody has a headache the whole 8 years I've had it. Be a kind one another is a contraction of be kind one to another. The old saying, blood runs thicker than water. You may fight with each other, but you'll line up together against the enemy. I'll fight for any of these people in the church world if the government gets on their case. I just don't want to have to look at them every night. That's being kinned. Thing I like about heaven. You know how much space there'll be in heaven to get away from the rest of those people you don't want to spend time with up there? Where are you going, Scott? Well, there's this corner of heaven over there that the rest of the Christians haven't got to yet. I'm going to check it out. They're going to say, what's old Scott doing? Well, he's the moving star of heaven. He just keeps going. But I'm kin to them through the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody gets on their case, I'm going to defend their rights. I wish Christians would grow up and understand what God's trying to get. He never told us to like anybody. That phileo slop, mutual love, he never commanded that. He commanded agapao, which is to value someone because of the value Christ paid for him with his blood. He valued him. Now, Jesus voluntarily took flesh and blood that he might kin himself with us. The necessity of the virgin birth, as W. Gresham Machen said years ago, it had to be a combined divine and human production. Because as the Hebrews letter says, stating it as a mystery, God did not bend down and help fallen angels, but rather he bent down to help us, and we who voluntarily can do nothing about it, we are flesh and blood. He voluntarily, who didn't have to become flesh and blood, became flesh and blood with us. Now, if God can speak and the worlds can be formed, God can speak and by a spiritual act in the womb of a virgin, a child was formed. And the associated constellations bring that development forth. The next constellation is Coma, the infant child, that in ancient antiquity is called the desire of the nations. The centaur, which has been taken in mythology and twisted out of shape and become idolatry, but throughout the most ancient myths, the centaur is that strange half-man, half-animal. In their minds, the simple truth of a dual nature that was hated both by the gods that were false gods, the heathen gods, and by the mankind that he came to help, who is the healer, the deliverer, always going about helping. Mankind that resents him, who dies of a poisoned arrow not intended for himself, and who, though immortal, volunteers to die that life might go to another, who has his reward from the gods, is elevated and placed among the stars as the symbol of the resurrection. All this in the first constellation, the child that's the desire of the nations, the centaur, and then Bootes, the shepherd who guards his sheep and harvests out of the earth. That's the first constellation. Straight off. And as the Sphinx says, with the head of the woman and the body of the lion, start with Virgo. The truth of redemption begins to unfold. The righteous virgin with the righteous seed, the righteous branch, producing the desire of the nations, the infant one who is the two-natured being who becomes the shepherd of his sheep to protect his sheep, and move right on to the next constellation, Libra in the Latin, the scales, showing that ancient truth of balancing as the criteria of making it in. As old as the Old Testament truth, where the shekel that was given as redemption must measure the half shekel in the holy place inside the tabernacle. Immediately, this righteous seed born of the virgin, that he might be kin with us, this two-natured being, God and man, in the divine meaning, the centaur, man and the animal. Notice it's the rear end of the animal. That's good Bible. God calls the sinner a wild ass man that deserves to have his neck broke. The two-natured being who is the shepherd of the sheep confronts the scales of righteousness, tilted on the low side, deficient, toward the scorpion, about to destroy him. Confronting these scales, he must face the cross, the southern cross that's under the feet of the centaur. The main constellation, the scales he must face, the supporting decans, the cross that he must face, the victim, sometimes called the wolf, Lupus, the victim, the animal slain by the spear of the centaur himself. As I taught last night, it takes many images to teach the truth. This is no different than the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the sinner brought the sacrifice, the animal. The animal was slain. A priest, third party, performed the sacrificing act. In the New Testament, Jesus was all three. He became the sin offerer, the sin bearer, and the sin offerer. He was there to present himself as the sacrifice. He took our place both as the sinner and as the sacrifice, and he was the high priest who offered himself. In the constellation, the seed of the woman, the two-natured being, the one that is to be the shepherd, the desire of the nations, he confronts the scales, faces the cross, becomes the victim, and in so doing obtains the crown, the corona borealis, that he just snatches literally from the mouth of the serpent. Immediately you move to the third constellation. This is all review from last night. The righteous seed, the infant born of woman, the two-natured being who becomes the shepherd, who will lay his life down for the sheep, confronting the righteous judgment, the scales, faces the cross where the price must be paid, becomes the victim. God wrote this message in the stars. Man didn't place him there. Man's distorted it, picked pieces of it, built idols to it, worshipped it. God placed it there. He obtained the crown. He confronts Scorpio as we move to the third constellation, that sign of Satan, the associated constellation decans are serpents, Ophiuchus, the man who's wrestling with the serpent, winning, seizing the serpent and holding the serpent that's about to seize the crown, and Hercules, the mighty man who in all mythology is the hero who fights evil. As the one born of woman faces the scales, becomes the victim, obtains the crown, he confronts the dragon. As you look at the constellations, you'll see above Scorpio 1 foot of the man that's wrestling with the serpent that has been wounded. The foot has been wounded by the tail of the scorpion, but the other foot is over the star that is the heart of the scorpion about to crush it. As Jesus was all of the symbols in the Old Testament, both the sinner, the offering, the sacrifice that is, and the priest who made the offering, he is variously represented. He was the seed and the branch in Virgo. He was the child, Coma. He was the one that came with the scythe upraised to harvest and guarding his sheep. He was the two-natured one. Each of them symbolize him. As you move to the next symbol, he confronts the scale, he confronts the cross, he becomes the victim. When Scorpio is introduced, Scorpio changes and becomes the serpent in the next decan. But it's God fighting with this serpent, ultimately to be victorious. So as we confront Scorpio, the decan that is associated, two of them, serpents, and Ophiuchus, the man who's wrestling with the serpent, have to be considered as one. I've already shown you the other picture of the scorpion. Come closer to this. His lower foot has been stung by the tail of the scorpion. This foot that's in this particular picture is on the heart of the scorpion. But in the symbolism, the scorpion is also the serpent. He's wrestling with the serpent, keeping its head from reaching the crown that was part of the previous constellation. So the symbol of this struggle is being carried forward. Further in Hercules, the mighty man who is winning victories over evil. Now, as we go through those three major constellations, a simple introduction of the truth shines out of the stars. One born of woman, the righteous seed, the desire of the nations, the infant, the two-natured one who will be the shepherd of his sheep, confronts the scales, faces the cross where the price must be paid, voluntarily becomes the victim. Voluntarily symbolized because it is the spear of the centaur himself that produces the victim. Nobody kills him. He lays his life down. Confronting the scorpion, wrestling with that old serpent to keep it from obtaining the crown, fighting against evil as Hercules. We now come to Sagittarius, and the review is over. And I pick it up here.
This is the end of side one. For the rest of the message, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.